Blog Talk Radio.
Disney floated.
War in a Babylon. Tribal war in a Babylon. Disney floated.
Why you say?
Disney floated.
Family and listening audience, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Camp. Like always, I encourage everyone to get your study materials, your notepads, your notebooks, your iPads, your iPhones, your pens, pencils, highlighters, and all those items that you need to conduct a good study. Oh, don't forget your Bibles. Don't forget your concordance and your Bible dictionary also. Before we get into the prayer for the evening, we are going to ask if I'm coming through clearly, send out a text, shout me out, let me know that everybody can hear me out there in the airwaves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. Another day to give you honor and give you praise. Another day to give thanks to Yahushua for what he has done for us. All the guidance that he's given us and the advice that he's given us throughout the course of this week. And allowing us to stand on a solid foundation as we go through this world system. Father, we ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word, cleave to thy truth of thy word, to strengthen us with thy word, so that we will be well equipped to minister your word to those in whom you wish for us to minister to. Father, we ask of thee to continue to use us for your purpose and your purpose alone. We ask of thee to continue to help us to remove the shortcomings and the iniquity that dwells within us. We thank thee for thy tender mercy and thy loving kindness. We thank thee for forgiving us for the sins we've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. We thank thee, Father, for the breath of life in which you have placed in us. And we thank thee, Father, for not taking it from us, which gives us another opportunity to hear your truth and to speak Yahushua into existence. Father, we thank thee once again for allowing us to come to thy Sabbath day. And we ask of thee to bless our minds with thy truth of thy word. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us with love and favor, and gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. As I said earlier, good evening, everyone. Today's lesson's topic is Yisrael is my possession. We've talked in previous times in regards to Israel. Like last week, we talked about Father of Nations when we were actually talking about Abraham. The time before that, we talked about the role of the believer. And one of the things that came to my mind in doing this study, we have to understand what we have to do. And in understanding what we have to do, we have to also understand our history. And one of the things that through doing this study, I realized that many people who identify themselves with different walks and different practices, they really don't know the history of their practices. They tend to do a lot of mimicking and parroting. And unfortunately, when doing that, you don't understand what you're doing. And one of the things that I've learned over the years and walking with Yah and his son and following the guidance of his son, he wants us to understand and know why we're doing the things that we're doing. And one of the things that he's shown me and the other members of, you know, the camp in which I'm a member of, he shows us his truth through his word. And as you go through the word, you begin to understand it more and more and more and more. As he says, search my word, search my word. And when we search his word, we learn more and more about his son, Yahushua. And the more we learn about Yahushua, the closer we become, or the closer we get to the Father. And in doing that, you can speak with a surety, as we talked about last week, standing on that authority of that word. And see, when you talk to other people in other walks, they don't understand and know what they're doing, which takes you back to the beginning. And the beginning I'm talking about is when the Father repopulated the earth with those three sons. And when many people, when you track it down and go back to those three sons, one of those sons, you know, his lineage established confusion, and that's Babylon. And that means confusion. And see, and that's where we are now. We're still in the midst of Babylon. Because there's so much confusion out there that people really don't know what they're doing. And the Father wants us to understand and know what we're doing. Because ultimately, He chose us, Israel, to be an example for the other nations. And throughout the course of, you know, the previous lessons, we've talked about the mixed multitude, we talked about the stranger, we talked about the alien. And when we define those things, they are people that's outside of the lineage of Shem, or outside of the lineage of Seth, when you get into the history and go back. See, when you go back, then you understand where the line of communication started. And see, and a lot of people don't study and go back to see where the line of communication started. And it started with when he repopulated the earth with the son named Shem. And his name, as we talked about, means name. That the Father, his name was going to be constantly being reminded through that particular line. And as you go through the history, the Father never grabbed a whole lot of people. It was always a small group of people to show his might in this world, show his might to the nations that were much greater than the people in whom Yah had chose. So, be encouraged, brothers and sisters, who identify themselves as Israel. But you have to be mindful of the true Israel. So when you're looking in the mirror and when you're studying, you have to really dig deep and understand that, am I serving Yah and in spirit and in truth? Because His word is truth, and His word is spirit, and His word is in us. But is that word that's in you leading and guiding you to all righteousness? Or is it leading and guiding you to the imagination of your own mind? So now we're gonna get into some scriptures. I'm gonna start off in Psalms 135, verses 1 to 5. And it reads, "Praise Yah, praise the name of Yahweh. Praise Him, you servants of Yahweh, you who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of Yahweh's house. Praise Yah, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for that is pleasant. For Yah has chosen Jacob for Himself. Israel for his own possession. For I know that Yahweh is great, that our mighty one is above all God. And from here, we're going to go to Isaiah 45:4. And it reads, For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my chosen, I have called you by your name. I have surnamed you. Though you have not known me, I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no mighty one. I will strengthen you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no one else. I formed the light and created darkness. I make and create calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. I'm going to stop here for a minute because this is Yahweh, and he's blessing the king of Persia. And as we know, Persia is one of those heathen nations. But he is utilizing this Persian king for a purpose. And when you read into the history, this Persian king acknowledges Yahweh for his greatness. And one of the things, as you read in the history of Israel, other nations acknowledge Yahweh for his greatness. However, Israel complained. Majority of Israel complained. Because within Israel, you had your small group of believers, those in whom he's chosen to hold that flame, to keep his truth. From here, we're going to go to John 4:22-23. And it reads, "You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know. For salvation is from Yahuda. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to be his worshipers." Went to this scripture. This is Yahushua. He's conversing with a woman at the well and letting her know, because when you get into that particular dialogue, it talks about how they was worshiping in the mountains and worshiping in Jerusalem. And Yahushua was saying, "Nah, it's not about where you worship. It's about worshiping in spirit and in truth." From here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 17, verses 23-24. And it reads, "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I announce to you. The mighty one who made the world and all things in it, he, being mighty one of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." Now this is Paul speaking, and he was traveling through Athens. And, you know, like I said, you know, started off where we have people who worship and practice things and don't really know what they're doing and why they're doing it and to whom they're giving praise and honor to. And that's because of the lack of study and lack of faith. So one of the things we have to understand is who Yahweh is, who Yahushua is, and who Yah is. And as you really study the Word brings this out to you. If you have a willing heart to receive the truth of the Word. See, because as we've learned in the Scriptures, man's mind is wicked. It's not hardwired for righteousness. It's hardwired for wickedness. There's a scripture that speaks, that says, the carnal mind is enmity against the mighty one, for it is not subject to it. It's not subject to the laws of the mighty one. I'm paraphrasing. Why? Because when you're thinking in your carnal mind, you're thinking of your flesh. You're thinking about how you can be pleasured. But one of the things that we learn from Yahushua is that he was selfless. He was here to serve the servants. And that's the same thing that we have to take upon ourselves, to be willing to be servants to other people and not be so concerned about ourselves. And that's a process. I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight, because it's not. But you have to have a willing heart to receive the wonders of the Word of Yah through his son Yahushua. Because that's one of the things that we learn, that when he gave up his spirit, he said, I have to do this so that I can send you this comforter, so that I can send you my spirit, so my spirit can dwell amongst you and give you understanding of the things that I've spoken about. And what are the things that he's spoken about? It is his Torah, from Genesis to Revelation, and the revelations that he's given to other men of the Scriptures. So from here, we're going to get into the lesson that's going to switch a little bit. Now we're going to start talking about this promise, because we talked about Abraham, and because at the end we're talking about Yisrael being this possession. This is something that belongs to the Most High. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, he takes care of us. Because as you go through the scriptures and you go through our history, he's always taking care of Israel. He's always taking care of those chosen people so that they will prosper in both the spiritual world and the physical world. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. And we've talked about Abram. And I'm going to start, and we're going to start at verse 5, and it reads, neither your name anymore be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. So right here, we're talking about Abram, and his name was changed. So he had did many things for the Most High up until this point, but then he proved himself. And the father said, hold up, let's change his name, because some great things are going to come out of him. Father, multitude of nations. And getting back to checking out your history, if many groups decide to check their history out, they will notice and see that they are connected to Abraham in certain forms of fashion. And one of the things also that through studying the scriptures, you realize that there was a lot of intermingling. Even though the Most High, you know, encouraged not to mingle because of Israel's disobedience, they mingled. And so these people that they mingled with had an opportunity to see how Israel was, or how Israel behaved in connection with their mighty one. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. And this is dealing with Isaac. Yahweh appeared to him the same night and said, I am the mighty one of Abraham, your father. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So now, this promise that the Most High made to Abraham is being passed down to his son Isaac. And see, and that's one of the things that we have to come to understand about this Torah and about this word. It's about passing it down to your family, letting your family know your beliefs, and practicing these things. Like one of the things we've learned over the years, I think it's a scripture that talks about a divided household, not, you know, being equally yoked. See, in this modern time, you have households that are being run by different doctrines, different ways, and they proclaim that they are serving the Most High, when his word teaches not to do that. That's what we want to understand. We want to understand his word, and we also need to apply his word, understanding that it is a process. But we can't use the fact that it's a process as a reason for why we don't do the things that we should do. You know, it's a statement that the Christians say, oh, he ain't done with me yet. Oh, he's still working on me. Yeah, he's working on everybody, every day, striving and encouraging you to do the right thing, not to overuse his grace and his mercy for you thinking that, okay, I can do this tomorrow. No, you have to do it today, being that perfect sacrifice each and every day, striving to get those blemishes out of you. Because as I think I'm going to read it, but he says that his spirit is not going to dwell in a temple made by hands. The temple that he's referring to is humanity. We are temples. And if we don't strive to clean out our temple, he's not going to dwell with us. Because light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. And if we are filled with darkness, his spirit cannot dwell within us. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. And now we're dealing with Jacob. And if you're familiar with this particular story, it's Jacob wrestling with the angel. And it reads, he said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have fought with Elohim and with men and have prevailed. So I'm going to stop here. Because we're going to look up the word Jacob. I'm going to look up the word Jacob, and Jacob is 3290 in your Hebrew section of your concordance. Yaakov, and its definition is heel catcher. To follow at the heel, circumvent. So from here, it has in parentheses, supplanter. So I looked the word supplant up. I actually put in supplanter, but it gave me the definition for supplant, and it means to take the place of another as through force, scheming, strategy, to replace one thing by something else. And then in the definition, it also has the term circumvent. And circumvent means deceive, outwit, find a way around. So when Yaakov was given his name, the Most High already knew what was going to happen beforehand. And as we know in the story, when you deal with Yaakov, he bought his brother's birthright. I mean, because his brother didn't really think the birthright was of any importance. So he had no problem with giving it up. But because Jacob was a couple minutes younger than his brother Esau, he and his mother devised a plan so that he could get the blessing of the firstborn. But from here, we're going to go to his name being changed to Israel, because the father knew something else was going on with him inside, because the father knows that spirit. So he changed his name to Yisrael. And then him changing his name, he also gave you the definition of Yisrael. I'm going to read the end of the scripture again. It says, "For he hath fought with Elohim and with men and have prevailed." So when you go to the Hebrew section of your concordance for Yisrael, it's 3478. And the definition is Elohim, or El strives. Typically his prosperity. So understand it. And then it also says he will rule as El. So it's just letting you know in regards to Yisrael, he's going to rule as El. So as a nation, because that's who we're cleaving to. We're cleaving and acknowledging ourselves as Israel. As a nation on the earth, we're supposed to rule as the mighty one on this earth. As a nation, as a multitude of people, as a group of people. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. And this is this particular scripture is in regards to when the Hebrews came out of Egypt. And it reads, "A mixed multitude went up also with them, with flocks, herds, and even very much livestock." See, this is that mixed multitude again. We've talked about the mixed multitude. That's the various nations that were in Egyptian slavery, Egyptian bondage, that came out with the Hebrews. So these same mixed multitudes were hearing the Most High or witnessing the things that Yahweh was doing with the Hebrews as they left Egypt, as they lived in Egypt. So these mixed multitudes also seen Yahweh did to the Pharaoh. From here, we're going to go to Exodus 19, verse 9. And it reads, "Yahweh said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. So right here, just going back to that mixed multitude, and during this time, Moses is his servant, and that's dealing with this nation. We're dealing with this group of people that came out of Egypt. And he said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to talk with you so that the people will believe you forever. Same book, Exodus, we're going to go to chapter 20, verse 18. And it reads, all the people perceived the thundering, the lightning, the sounds of the trumpets, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, speak with us yourself, and we will listen. But do not let Yahweh speak with us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for Yahweh has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you won't sin. The people stayed at a distance, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where Yahweh was. See, the people were experienced, this mixed multitude experienced Yahweh speaking to his servant. And they were very afraid. They were very afraid at that moment. And they said to Moses, we'll listen to you. But as we know in the history of Israel, this same group of people, or this same people that call themselves Israel, they kill the prophet. You got the priests. They go contrary. Some of the priests went contrary to the ways of the Most High. Got caught up in the ways of the nations. That's where the Father wants us to be right now. He wants us to understand and reverence him, so that we won't do wrong, that we stay in righteousness. That's what he wants us to do. Hold him in high regard. Then I'm going to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And this is one of Paul's writings. And it reads, then what advantage does the Yahudi have? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Because first of all, they were entrusted with the oracles of Yahweh. See, Israel as a nation was entrusted with the word of Yahweh, with his laws, with his statutes, and his judgments, with his governmental system that was supposed to be instituted here on earth. And if we pay attention to the world system and their levels of government and their structure and compare it to the scriptures, you will see that the world system is following Yahweh's oracles. They're following his statutes and his judgments. But yet Israel has a problem with following the laws and statutes of Yahweh as a nation. But they have no problem with going out there and working for the man and making sure that they do what the man say. But when it comes to following Yahweh and giving Yahweh his respect and his honor, they have a problem with it. They will have no problem with beefing and arguing about what Yahweh said. They have no problem with giving their own interpretation of what Yahweh said. But Yahweh doesn't need man to interpret his word. He just needs man to obey my voice, because that's what he said way back when. Obey my voice. All these other things were instituted thinking that man would obey his voice. But man gets caught up in all these other things and not heed the simplicity of what the word is actually saying. The word is so simple that it's so complex to understand. Why? Because men's minds are constantly imagining and imagining and imagining that they can't even fathom that it can be that simple. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And it reads, he said, I will make my goodness pass before you. And this is Yahweh talking to Moses. He said, I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. See, we live in a time where many people have no problem with worshiping other deities, because one of the things they tend to say is, if it is a God, why is he allowing certain things to happen? He allowing these things to happen so that we can understand the frailty of being a human. He also said, hey, I'm going to show mercy on whom I choose to show mercy on. We read in the scripture before, he created lightning, light, darkness, calamities, all that's because all these things are to create a level of balance in humanity. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 18. And Paul is speaking right now. And it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? May it never be. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of Yahweh who has mercy. For the scriptures say to Pharaoh, for this purpose I caused you to be raised up, that I might show in you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. So we as humanity are objects of Yahweh, so that we can teach one another the mercies of Yahweh, the goodness of Yahweh, so that we can learn from each other. We're going to go now to Leviticus, chapter 26. And I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to read verse 11 and 12. And it reads, you shall make yourselves no idols, neither shall you raise up engraven image or pillar, neither shall you place any figure stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. Verse 11, I will set my tent among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your mighty one, and you will be my people. So here we're just talking how Yahweh was talking to the people and telling them not to make any idols, no engraved images or pillars. See, because the Father knew that Israel, or this nation, was going to be confronted with these things. And he wanted them to give honor and praise to him and to remember what he said and to know his name, because he knew that they were going to come into the land where these different deities and these different gods were going to be talked about. And like we read earlier, there's no Elohim or no God outside of Yahweh. None. None. These gods are imaginations of men. These gods and these deities and these other walks are how men twist the scriptures for their own purpose. As the scriptures say, they twist them and turn them for their own destruction. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 to 8. And remember, Israel, you are his possession. You are his possession. You are object of his use, if that's what you're claiming. If you're claiming to be Israel, you're claiming to be an object of Yahweh's use and his purpose. And one of the things that we learned, I think a couple weeks ago, how Yahushua said, feed my sheep. He also talked about there's a sheep that was out there that wasn't of this fold. But we also learned about those multitude of nations that came out of Abraham. And we also learned that Abraham would teach his sons. And those sons that he had that were out there among the other nations, he taught them, even though they intermingled with the other nations, those sons taught their children the things of their father. Because when we go and we talk to other people that are out there, and we compare the things that they're doing with the scripture, we can say, wow, that's what the Bible teaches. And then they give you a response, well, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that, this is what I learned, blah, you know. And they don't see it. Why? Because they're not hearing the voice of Yahweh. They're not seeing the light. Why? Because they're not connecting themselves to the words of Yahweh. And if they connected themselves to the word Yahweh, or to those who believe in Yahweh, then the things that they will know would open up. But they too have to have a willing heart, just like we have to have a willing heart to receive the wonders of Yahweh's word. Because at one time we were strangers also to this way of life. And we have to also show compassion to those who are coming in. Just like those who seen us come in and showed us compassion. Then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 through 8. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and make you a covenant for the people as a light for the nations. To open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoner out of the dungeons, and those who sit in darkness out of the prisons. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to engraved images. I'm gonna read verse 6 again. It says, I am Yahweh. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and make you a covenant for the people as a light for the nations. See, we are light for the nations out there. We have to do the right thing. We have to be in righteousness. We have to hold the Father's hand. We have to hold Yeshua's hand. We have to hold the Word in our hand so that righteousness can be in us. And if that righteousness be in us, then we too will have the ability to open the blind eyes and to bring the prisoners out of the dungeons and those who sit in the darkness out of prisons. Sorry about that, family. From here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 29, verse 45 and 46. And it reads, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their mighty one. They shall know that I am Yahweh, their mighty one, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am Yahweh, their mighty one. Yahweh wants to dwell among us. He wants to dwell with us. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy. I'm going to read verse chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. And it reads, when Yahweh, your mighty one, shall bring you into the land where you will go to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. You understand that, family? Israel? The nations that we have to deal with are going to be much mightier than us. They're going to be greater than us. But if we continue to hold the Father's hand, continue to hold Yahushua's hand, there will be no problem for us. Verse 5. But you shall deal with them like this. You shall break down their altars and dash their pillars in pieces and cut down their Asherim and burn their engraved images with fire. Verse 6, for you are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim. Yahweh, your Elohim, has chosen you to be a people for his own possessions, for his own possession above all people who are on the face of the earth. You hear that, Israel? We are above all the people, all the peoples on the face of the earth. He got us. I'm going to go to the word Asherim. That's 842 in your Hebrew section of your lexicon. Of your concordance, and it means groves. So this is, and it's a Phoenician goddess. So this is letting you know this is one of those statues that they had, and that they put up. These groves, these trees, these gardens of these trees. And then I looked up the word in verse 6. He says, well, you are a holy people. I looked up the word people. And it's 5971. A people as a congregation, as a unit, specifically a tribe, as those of Israel, hence, collectively, troops or attendants, figuratively, a flock, men, nation, people. So you understand what we are, Israel? You know, we are an army. We kin folks. We're a tribe. And we have to go back to understanding that this tribe that the Father has made a holy people is made up of a mixed multitude. From here, we're going to go to Samuel, 2 Samuel, verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 8 to 11. And it reads, now therefore, you shall tell my servant David this. Thus saith Yahweh of armies, I took you from the sheep pen, from following the sheep, that you should be a prince over my people, over Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones who are in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore, as at the first. And as from the day that I commanded judgment to be over my people Israel, I will cause you to rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Yahweh tells you that Yahweh will make you a house. So, what comes to mind is scripture that Yahushua said to the disciples. He said, I go and I prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. So, Yahweh is preparing a place for Israel so that you don't have to war anymore. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just rest. And what is the rest from? The wickedness of the world. Sin, That's what we're resting from. Because giving praise and giving honor to the Father is not work at all. It's not. And if you look at giving praise and giving honor to the Father as work, you have to reevaluate yourself. Because that is our service, to give him praise and give him honor for the goodness that he's bestowed upon us. For we are worthy of death. As the scriptures say, the wages of sin is death. But he extends grace and mercy to us to give us another opportunity to get it right. To be a light for him. To be a tool or object of his desire. For his purpose. So now, we're going to switch. Because we have to understand, you know, we're hearing what the Father has done and the goodness that he do for us. But now, we have to understand Israel. And what Israel has done over the generation. Like I mentioned earlier, how other deities and not other deities, but other nations acknowledge Yahweh for his greatness. And sometimes Israel don't acknowledge Yahweh for his greatness. Don't acknowledge the word for its wisdom. So we're going to go to Psalms chapter 89, verse 2. And it reads, I indeed declare, love stands firm forever. You establish the heavens. Your faithfulness is in them. I have made a covenant with my chosen ones. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Salah. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. And it reads, when a man takes a wife and marries her, then it shall be, if she found no favor in his eyes, because he has found some unseemly thing in her, that he shall write her a bill of divorce and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And one of the things, you know, the Father led me to this is because Israel has been characterized as being a wife to Yahweh. And as we read in the scriptures how he tells Israel, don't, you know, make any graven images, don't bow down to them, don't do this, don't do that. You know, there's one scripture that talks about how he's a jealous Elohim. But let's listen now. These are some of the things that Israel has done. And I've started off with this bill of divorcement. Because one of the things, as we read through these scriptures, that's one thing that Yahweh has not done. He's not given Israel a bill of divorcement. Even though Israel has done many a things to want that based on man's standards. But Yahweh is not a man. And his ways are not our ways, thoughts our thoughts. So when we read about this bill of divorcement, see, this bill of divorcement was honored or granted because of the hardness of men's heart. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5 to 7, and it reads, for your maker is your husband, Yahweh of armies is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The Mighty One of the whole earth shall he be called. For Yahweh has called you as a wife, forsaken and grieved in spirit, even a wife of you. When she is cast it off, saith your Mighty One, for a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. And it reads, I saw when for this very cause that backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet treacherous Judah, her sister, did not fear, but she also went and played the prostitute. And I went here because, you know, at this particular time, Israel was divided into two separate groups, but it's still dealing with the Israel. And it's showing how they were sinning. One group seen the other group and didn't fear. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 to 32. And it reads, it was also said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. But I tell you that whoever puts away his wife, except for the cause of sexual immorality, makes her an adulteress, and whoever marries her when she is put away commits adultery. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11. Yahweh said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, you backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh. I will not look in anger on you, for I am merciful, saith Yahweh. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh, your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. Return, backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am a husband to you. I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Yahweh is calling us back. Calling us back to him. Even though we may have done wrong, still our husband, Israel, he's still showing mercy. When we deal with the prophet Hosea, one of the things that he was told to do was to go marry a prostitute. And she still continued her business. But he was taking care of her while she was still doing her thing. And that's one of the things that the Father has done for us. He take care of Israel, those he has chosen, despite what they're doing. Like he said in this scripture, you know, he's not going to be angry forever. And then there's a teaching that says he's just angry for a moment. And how the and what is a moment? But he gives us an opportunity to get rid of our, acknowledge first that we've done wrong. And then put forth that effort, or put the effort forward to ask for forgiveness. From here, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, "Did he not make you one? Although he had the residue of the Spirit, why one? He sought a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate divorces, saith Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, and him who covers his garment with violence, saith Yahweh of armies. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously." From here, we're going to go to Hosea chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17, and then 19 and 20. And it reads, "It will be in that day, saith Yahweh, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take away the name of Baal out of her mouth, and they will no longer be mentioned by name. I will patrol to you forever. Yes, I will patrol you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and compassion. I will even patrol you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know Yahweh." From here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. And it reads, "By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation, that I should not be exalted exceedingly, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, that I should not be exalted excessively. Concerning this thing, I begged the master three times that it might depart from me. He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Yahushua may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injury, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Yahweh's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I went to this scripture because sometimes we as believers, we go through things. But when we stand in on his word, we understand that these things that we're going through are just symbolic of the things that Yahushua went through for us. And the Father humbles us with these things because he doesn't want us to get so big-headed. And when we read this is Paul that's speaking right now about something that was going on with him. "For in our weakness shows the strength of Yahushua, because it's Yahushua who gets us through these trying times. It's through us going to him and praising his name and giving honor and glory to the Father that we get through these things, get through these troubling times. And from there, it took me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. And we're familiar with this scripture, and it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And as we learned about these fruits of the Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit assist us in overcoming the works of the flesh. And I looked up the word self-control in this particular scripture. And it's 1466 in your Greek lexicon. And is Ekrakia. Ekrakia. I think I'm saying that wrong, but if you looked it up, you'll see the phonetic spelling of it. But the definition of it is mastery, self-control, self-restraint. See, when we're going through these things in our life, our struggles, we have to maintain self-control. We can't harbor ill feelings. Just like when we read in how the Father, he will not be angry forever. He's showing levels of self-control with Israel. And he's showing those fruits of the Spirit with Israel. So he's being an example for us. And this example that he's showing us is the same example that we're supposed to be showing down here. We read earlier how we're supposed to be a light to the nations. How can we be a light to the nations if we can't even keep his word? If we can't even agree on what his word is saying? How can we say we're Israel if we're not even demonstrating his word in our households? But we want to show his word to those that's outside of the household. Because the scriptures say charity starts at home first. And when we look at that word charity, I believe it means love. Love starts at home first. But as we see, it's one of those fruits of the Spirit. But you can't get the love if you don't have any self-control. So you got to master self-control in order to get the love. I think as the scriptures say, how can you love a God in whom you can't see, but you have awe with your brother? How can you agree with the Most High if you can't even keep his law, statutes, and judgments down here? Israel. Ask for forgiveness. Reach out and grab his hand again, for his hand is extended. For we must remember that it's us who let go of his hand, not he who let go of our hand. Because he's always trying to gather us together to show his righteousness, to show his love for us. So from here, we're going to go to, this is the last scripture of the night. Just going to reiterate, we belong to Yahweh. He chose us above all the peoples in the world. and he scattered us throughout the world so that all nations can have an opportunity to see the light of his possession, so that they too can wonder for it, so they too can be a part of it. We've read in the scripture, it talks about the grafting in of the Gentiles, how they have to cleave to Israel and cleave to the ways of Yahweh, keeping the law, statutes, and judgments. But one of the things that we have to always remember the Sabbath as a sign between Yahweh and his people. The Sabbath. And that's where we're in now. We're in the Sabbath. See, because this is one of the things that he instituted in creation. Sabbath. See, we was talking earlier about these different nations and not studying their history. See, when you study the history of humanity, it takes you to the Sabbath. To the Sabbath. So we're going to go to the last scripture of the night, and it's John 17, verse 24, and it reads, Father, and this is Yeshua talking, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, be with me where I am, that they may see my glory. Sorry about that, family. I'm going to start over. I had a squirrel moment. I'm going to go to John 17, verse 24. And this is Yeshua talking. Father, I desire that you also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I knew you, and these knew that you sent me. I made known to them your name and will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. See, family, Yahushua desire the love of the Father that is in him to be in us, so that we too can represent the love of the Father here on the earth. And it's, just reiterate earlier, in the beginning of the teaching, there's going to come a time when we have to do things that we really don't want to do. And then we see in the scriptures how, you know, the Father gave different prophets different things to do. And sometimes they didn't do them in the when the Father wanted them to do it, or when the Father initially told them to do it. But eventually, you know, they come to their senses and they realize that let me go ahead and do this thing. You know, because we are human. We are human. And we become afraid at times. But one of the things that we see in the scriptures is that the Father empowers those whom he's chosen to do the task in which he sets them forth to do. And he also comes to you and encourages you to do those things. We've seen last week how Yeshua went to Paul and encouraged him. We've seen how Yahweh went to Moses and encouraged him. We've seen how Yahweh went to Abraham and encouraged him. Went to Isaac and encouraged him, and Jacob and encouraged him. So Israel, the Father, or Yahushua would encourage you also. And he will strengthen you and give you power and authority that you need so that you can accomplish his task here on earth, so that you can burn brightly as that light to the nation. So I encourage you all, as you listen to this lesson and prepare yourself for a nice slumber, let the Father protect you in your slumber. May he strengthen you in your conscious mind as well as your unconscious mind. Because we know the adversary is ever, ever lurking, trying to figure out how he can trip you up. But we know that, I think there's a scripture that Father never sleeps. Father never sleeps. Yahushua never sleeps either. Because he's keeping us. Protecting us. Defending us. And when we have the opportunity to protect his word, that's what we're supposed to do. I think when the word says keep, that's what we do. We protect that word. We keep it alive when we do it. Because no one can say that they didn't see it when you're keeping the law, statutes, and judgments. When you're showing the fruit of the Spirit. When you're wearing the full armor, demonstrate those principles. Israel. Israel. The time is coming. Well, we're going to have to go to war. As we say, it's peacetime right now. A lot of things are being accepted. But as one of the things I'll lead it to say, Israel, you're that flying ointment. You're the flying ointment that's going to be going up against this world system. I think one of the lessons, are you ready for the war? Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to fight? Gird up, Israel. Gird up. Father, as we come before thee on thy Sabbath day, we give you honor and give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask of thee to continue to Forgive us for the sins we've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. We ask of thee to continue to encourage us. Continue to help us to reach for you, to call on you, call for your assistance. Help us to not depend on the strength of ourselves or the strength of the system. For as we strive to cleave to you in your ways, give us the understanding that we're like Yahushua. We're in the world, but not of the world. Help us to renew our minds so that we can be a good sacrifice. One, without blemish. Perfect in Yahushua's ways as he fills us with his spirit. Father, I ask of thee to continue to encourage us to learn of Yahushua and what he has done on your behalf, so that we too can do the things of Yahushua on his behalf. Father, we thank thee for thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. We also ask for thee, O Father, to heal the sick, those who are sick both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Help them to come out of those situations, giving you praise and giving you honor. Father, we thank thee once again for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day to give you praise and give you honor. We pray in the name of thy Son, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach, the one whom you sent to redeem us from our sinful ways. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Israel, and have a peaceful slumber. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, is there anybody out there? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Hello, hello.